Hey guys, I'm Court.
And I'm Kate.
And you're listening to another episode of
The Castle Chat.
Hey friends, and welcome back to another episode of our Disney-inspired podcast. Today we're saying goodbye to Dinoland USA at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Once a quirky, prehistoric themed favorite, this land has now gone extinct, making way for an exciting new era in the park's evolution. Want to experience more magic with us outside of this episode? Be sure to follow us on all socials at The Castle Chat. If you love what you hear, please leave us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify so we can continue to build this community. Are you ready to jump into the episode? Let's chat about it.
Hey, Court, you know what I think it's time for?
What?
I think it's time that we go get that dino.
Oh, but we don't have that many opportunities left to go get that dino.
I know. I am, first of all, maybe sounding a little bit different. I have been sick, and Courtney has been so kind, forcing me to rest my voice. I fully lost my voice for 2 weeks, which is great for podcasting. So if I squeak or I sound funny, forgive me. But we are here today to pay our respects and say our official and final goodbye to what we know as Dinoland USA.
I know. I cannot believe the time has come. Now, if you are unaware of this closure, well, surprise, Dinoland USA, part of it at least, as of this episode, is now closed. The Dino-rama section has officially closed as of January 13th, and the remaining areas, which include the dinosaur ride and one of the restaurants, is still available and open at this time, but we do not know when that is going to be closing. So it is a bittersweet moment. I know, especially for Kate, this land is very important to her and her family, and we're really here today to, like Kate said, pay our respects and really give you guys a lot of the history on this land while also sharing some fun memories and different stuff like that and what's to come in this area. So I'm really excited for us to jump into this. We both watched a lot of YouTube videos and did a lot of research, and oh my gosh, there are so many Easter eggs in this area of the park. And you know us, we love fun facts and Easter eggs. And so this was really fun for us to research, and we're very excited to share all of them with you guys today.
Yeah, for me, when I think about all the different theming around Walt Disney World, as we've gotten into some of these newer themed lands like Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, the details are so intentional always whenever Disney is building stuff like this. And I, after doing research, I knew that there was so many rich details in Dinoland USA, but after studying up and reminding myself of what they all were for this episode, this, I think, is one of the most themed lands. Like, the backstory on Dinoland USA, the land, I will not continue to say USA, I'm just going to call it Dinoland. but I feel like the backstory and the theming and the details that were put into this land, this is an area I think a lot of people, if you don't go to Disney often, probably just scoot on by. But it's one of the most, like, thought out spaces that you could possibly walk through.
Yeah, I will go ahead and lay it out here before we jump into things. I am a frequent Disney goer, and I do not, or I have not, did not, past tense, spend nearly enough time as I kind of now wish that I had in Dinoland. It was an area for me that was more of a pass through. I love the dinosaur ride and have ridden that many times, but as far as Dino-rama, I didn't really do many of the arcade games, the carnival games, sorry. And I've been on Primeval World, but it was always an area of the park for me that was like, oh, that's vibrant and fun and colorful. But I was like, let's go to the next thrill ride. Like, it was always, that's kind of the way that I viewed it growing up. even as an adult. And now that it's closed and I've watched these videos and I've learned so much about this land, I'm kind of regretting that I didn't spend more time here. Whereas you and your family, which I'd love for you to explain, it was like a place where you guys spent a lot of time. And so I'm sure it's very sad, this closure for you and your family. And so I'd love for you to share more about what this land was for you guys.
Yeah, I would love to. My family, for whatever reason, well, I say that, I know the reason. My dad, if you are ever lucky enough to meet him, is like the definition of Mr. Fun. Like, he just constantly wants to have a good time. He's always down for, I mean, we're grown people now, but like wants to go to the arcade, wants to spend stupid amounts of money on stupid games that get you little prizes like these plushies in Dino Land. And we as a family are just like, that is something we have always loved to do. We love to go to like Dave and Buster's, if you're familiar with places like that, where you just go and you play games. It's a way to like have fun, but do it together. And so this Dino-Rama section of Dino Land, for over a decade now, every Disney trip that I can think of, it was like our Animal Kingdom day, there was carved out time for Dino-Rama and time in Dino Land. I have memories, and we still have all the plushies. I posted an Instagram reel of like all of our collection of Dino Land plushies that range from so many different, like they went through so many different eras of plushies in this area. And I have memories of my brother, who's grown now, when he was like 3, winning a plushie and being so excited about it. And whenever Sam and I first got our dog Penny, like I went with the mission of I was bringing Penny back a Dino Land stuffed animal because I had a dog to take something back for, you know, just all these little memories where we would go, we play the games, we play until at least one of us in the group won something. And it was just a very consistent part of our Disney trips. So our last trip, we were lucky enough to go this Christmas with my family and my grandparents, who have not been to Disney since I was 2. And obviously this was going to be our last opportunity to spend some time in the Dino-Rama area. And my dad was like, okay, I'm going to go get our tickets. And he came back and homie bought like 50 tickets. I was like, dad.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
You did not have to do that. And he was like, we are going to play every game. Everybody, I mean, there's 10 of us. And if there's like, you know, 6 games in there and we all, you know, all play every single game, that's a lot of tickets. And so he's like, we're all playing every game one more time, which I thought was really sweet and really sentimental. And I will remember it for the rest of my life. And I posted an Instagram video about this week as well. But my grandpa, who last, not this past Thanksgiving 2024, but 2023, was diagnosed with cancer. This whole past year, he's been going through a chemo journey and had to have some pretty serious surgeries. And it was like he wanted to go to Disney World, and those words have not come out of his mouth for as long as I have been alive. And now all of a sudden, he knows that it's our family thing and it's been important to us, and he wanted to go. And there was one Dino Land plushie that I had yet to collect, and they were getting kind of stingy on these plushies here at the end. Like, they were running out of dinosaurs. There were like people were winning little Moanas and little Maymays from like just a very strange array of plushies because they ran out of dinosaurs. But I did not have the Aladar Iguanodon dinosaur, and you have to like win big to win that one. But lucky for my family, we're a large group, and so usually you have to have at least 8 players in order for the big plushies to be on the table. And so we had multiple opportunities to like close out these games and be the only people playing. And my grandpa ended up winning a dinosaur and giving it to my kiddo Taj. And again, a memory that, if it's going to be a last, it was a really strong last memory for Dino Land. So that's just a a brief personal anecdote on our time with the Dino-Rama area, specifically in Dinoland. It was always a really fun spot for us. So yes, we're bummed, but also expectant that we'll find new things with all the stuff coming to Walt Disney World to enjoy together. So on to the next, but we will hold it near and dear in our hearts forever.
Well, that honestly makes me want to cry. So sad and also so just like heartfelt that that's such a big part of your family. And we want to know, do you have stories like this from Dino Land? Like, please share them with us in our DMs. Why was this land important to you? That kind of stuff. So we'd love to hear your memories as well as we're thinking about this new extinct land, no pun intended. But we really need to jump in and talk about really the history of this land, the overview of just kind of what up until this day you could have expected to find there. And then once we go through all of that and the fun facts, ending our time with what's to come, what can we expect in Animal Kingdom, in this area, in the future. So I think we should jump in and really talk about that history, or more of like the overview of what to expect here. So where would you like to start? Would you like us to start like back before they were even, like before Dino Land even existed?
I think that we pretend that we are professors and we are giving a lecture on the history, just like you would the history of the United States of America. We're going to give the history of Dinoland USA and go all the way back to the beginning and tell it like a story, because that's how they created it. That's how they developed this whole idea, is that it's a big story. And so I think we go all the way back to how Dinoland USA became a hotspot.
So back when they were creating Animal Kingdom and they were coming up with these lands, they decided they had Dinoland as a concept, or a dinosaur themed land was on the table. And then there was this other themed land that they were considering called Beastly Kingdom. And this kingdom of sorts was going to be focused around the mythical animal creatures. So they were going to have the real live animals and then these mythical creatures. And what's really funny is that the original logo of Animal Kingdom has a dragon on the logo. I never even knew this. So this was like shocking to me that this was even a concept to begin with.
Yeah, I did know this little historical bit, but the thing that is, and I forget to pay attention to it every single time I go to Animal Kingdom, and like I see it or I hear it, and then I'm like, gosh, why did I not like go seek that out? There is a dragon head at the entrance. Like, they were planning on it, you know, which is crazy. And like, yes, it's in the logo, but like one of the entry points at Animal Kingdom, they have the dinosaur, they have an elephant, like the realistic current animals, and then they also have a dragon, which is insane. The one thing that I like and was like excited about with Pandora was I felt like the banshees from Pandora World of Avatar fulfilled this like dragon idea that was part of the original concept work that was in place for Animal Kingdom. But obviously anything in Disney World comes down to budget, and one of them was going to get cut for the opening. So Beastly Kingdom did get cut, and they went with Animal Kingdom. And the reason that they went with Animal Kingdom was because it was more thought out and well planned compared to the team that was in charge of Beastly Kingdom. And so that well thought out plan is what turned into what we know as Dinoland. And now it's not going to be Dinoland anymore, but you know, I think that that start, it shows that the people who had this idea, like, they were very confident in it to the point where like they won the pitch and didn't get cut because their idea was successful.
Yeah. What's super interesting about this is that their concept for the whole park was to have extinct animals, live animals, and then mythical animals. That was their vision for how they wanted this animal park to be. But when the cost of live animals, when they figured out all the costs associated with that, they were like, okay, this is more than we thought. That's when they had to go back to the drawing board and decide, like, do we keep beasts or do we do the dinos? And so dinos won, and that's how we got to where we are today. We also chose Dino Land because at the time when Animal Kingdom was being built, Jurassic Park was like on the rise and dinosaurs were like a hot commodity. And so Michael Eisner was like, we have to do Dino Land. We need something that's going to be a little bit of a competitor when it comes to Universal and them releasing all of the Jurassic Park information. So I think that was smart when they did this, considering the park opening in 1998 and when Jurassic Park came out. So I get it. It makes a lot of sense. And now I can see in a way why they're ready to move on from it, although it's still like so sad that they would move on from this.
I think when you envision the difference between something like Velocicoaster in Universal and then Dinorama in Disney, it's a very different concept surrounding dinosaurs. And where Universal has taken Jurassic Park with their theming and their coasters, it just, I think, is its own thing now. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea that Disney isn't trying to like build out Dino Land to continue to compete with that, because as far as I know Disney, that's not the type of park they are. And this Jurassic Park stuff, Velocicoaster, is 10 out of 10, top notch.
Yeah.
You're not going to match it with Dino Land and Animal Kingdom. So I don't think that that's a bad move by Disney to like say, okay, we loved this for the last however many years, but we're not going to build a Velocicoaster in Dino Land. So we're going to take our IP that Universal doesn't have any competitors for and build out that concept and idea in our park to attract a totally different guest. So that's kind of the background of the business side, the Walt Disney Company side of deciding on Dino Land, Dino Land existing, and now them deciding to move forward from it. But I think it's time we get into the storytelling and the details of the land that we knew itself in the park.
Yeah, definitely. So as they were building this land, they really wanted there to be a big contrast in this land. They wanted the educational side of dinosaurs and learning about them, and then the really funny, silly, goofy side of like dinos are just fun, you know? So they took that approach and they executed it perfectly. When they were building the land, they originally wanted to do a coaster style ride, and then they quickly realized that they basically could just use the Indiana Jones ride over in Disneyland and create a dark ride and make a dinosaur and kind of like combine the two. And so that's where they went with that. And we'll get into that a little bit later because we'll talk about that ride as a whole. But the important thing to note here about the details and the theming is that it is really separated by that educational piece and that fun piece. So we have these scientists and paleontologists that are like super into finding out that information. And then we have people on the other side, which are our lovely Chester and Hester over in Dinorama, that we'll get to explain to you guys kind of what the vision was for this little small town. So Kate, why don't you explain a little bit more about the town of Dinorama and, well, really Diggs County and how this came to be and why that area is a little bit different than where we see the dinosaur experience.
So I love this like story. It's a made up story about a made up town with these made up people. And it's this level of attention to detail that sets Disney apart from other theme parks, because there is this level of storytelling in just simply like the roads that you're walking on. So Diggs County is where you will find anything in Dino Land. The dinosaur attraction area, as well as Dinorama, you're in Diggs County. And it's this county where you are on Highway 498. 498 was picked intentionally because Animal Kingdom opened on April 22nd, but the fourth month in 1998. And so you're on Highway 498 going into Diggs County. And these people in Diggs County were just hanging about and hanging around and ended up finding a dinosaur bone. And it turns into this big thing where they let scientists know. They say, hey, we found what we think is a dinosaur bone. And all of a sudden, Diggs County is just infiltrated with everybody and anybody who is in the world of dinosaur research. And so it becomes this science ground for excavating and finding more dinosaur bones, doing research on dinosaurs. And you have paleontologists who come in and they need somebody else to do the grunt work. And so, of course, they create student programs for students to come in, and grad students can come and help be a part of the work that's happening in Diggs County and help these paleontologists with their research on dinosaurs. And so that's exactly what Courtney was talking about, where the design and intention behind a lot of what you see in Dino Land to somebody who doesn't understand this background story is probably just a hodgepodge of confusion, but it's intended to be the way that Joe Rohde described it. It's where order meets chaos. And so you have like these regimented, very on top of their game, serious scientists who've come in and they're ready to make big discoveries. And then you've got these students who are young and excited and still a little bit silly. And you have these contrasting personalities between the students and the scientists. And that's what makes up this whole design and layout of what you see in Dino Land.
I think it's honestly so cool they went this route, because throughout the entire land, you can see, like, I guess, elements or sections where the scientists are contributing to things. And then the students have like little post-it notes on things. And you can see the back and forth between the intelligence of these scientists and just the youngness that is in these students. And so it's very fun. And I love how, you know, Chester and Hester, like, oh my gosh, we found this bone. And now we're going to turn this entire county into this tourist attraction. We're going to sell merchandise out of our gas station. We're going to have a carnival. We're going to have a place where kids can learn about dinosaurs and fossils and everything. And it turns into this like touristy, like little town. And so it's very quaint and cute, and all the little Easter eggs throughout are adorable.
This is a little bit of a side note, but where Courtney and I live, we have several beaches around us, but there's a beach here. If you're familiar with The Summer I Turned Pretty, there are scenes in season two, where they filmed at this like off the beach little carnival area.
Yeah, season two.
So it's in Carolina Beach. And this like kind of reminds me of what the like kitschy roadside attraction type carnival that Mr. Chester and Hester, who are locals to Diggs County, have created, where it's like kind of thrown together. It's not really like polished, but they know tourists are coming and they're going to spend money on it. And so they're like, hey, we're going to make our dollar because this is what the people are coming for. Throw dinosaur on it and call it a day. And so, totally agree with Court. Like, it's just such a fun concept that there's this whole like group of people and storyline that are behind every single detail that your eyes come across in this area. So, what other details should we talk about?
Yeah, so I really want to talk about the Restaurantosaurus. So the restaurant that is available, the quick service opportunity you have there, is the theming behind it is that like it's these college, I guess, dorms, student dorms, where they're keeping them and staying overnight. But also they realize quickly that they need to make money. So they like turn it into a restaurant and add the Osaurus at the end. So it's not just restaurant. And that's kind of a joke throughout the entire land that Osaurus is just added to things to make it dinosaur. And when you're in Restaurantosaurus and you look around, you can like see up top all like different, I don't know, student bedding, different stuff like that, because they're living in this restaurant. And it's like the two worlds have kind of combined, and you're in this place where they are they're selling food to help raise money so that they can make money because they're college students, right? And college students don't have a ton of money. And so I love that it's grad students. They're just hanging out. You can also see outside the restaurant on the roof. There's like some chairs and some beer cans and like where they've been doing activities. And you can really see that immersive theming throughout, that you've really stepped into this town where these grad students are doing research and helping out in Dinoland USA.
Yeah, I have to be completely honest. Like, some of these details, I am that person that, like, I've been in Restaurantosaurus, but I've never stopped and looked up and realized
right?
that there are, like, dorms, like, cot-like beds and desks and chairs. Obviously, I've seen pictures and videos at this point. And I somewhat knew, like, I'm sure my eyes glazed across them, but because I wasn't paying attention or looking for that story, it just kind of like went by me. And so again, just so many details. And like in Restaurantosaurus, one of the things that I thought was funny was like that every quick service kind of has different sections that you can sit in. And one of the sections is called the hip joint, but like it's a play on words because like a hip joint, because they're digging for bones and it's like their little hangout, and they've got like badminton nets like strung across the top of this room with all the little like birdies knocked into the net. I mean, just so many things that the people who designed this land took time to put there, where I feel like when you think about Galaxy's Edge and these lands that are based off of things that we have a context for, like when it comes, obviously Batuu was new and it's a planet created specifically for the Walt Disney World parks, but like you know what you're looking for with Star Wars, and this is a totally unique made up story that there was no background for outside of whoever the designers and people on this team were. Like they were like, I can just envision them sitting at a round table and be like, oh my gosh, it would be so funny if we slapped Osaurus like on the end of like everything that you see within 20 feet of each other. And so
yeah.
I just, again, have such an affinity for what this land was because it's so original and so creative and also just kind of silly.
Well, what's funny to me is that they easily could have just gone in and they could have been like, let's just make a restaurant that is got some dinos in it and call it a day. But they took it so far and made the story so deep to the point that it's like these students are trying to make some extra cash and they hustle and they bring in enough money that now they have enough money to start the Dino Institute. And it all interconnects and it makes so much sense why they did it this way. And I just love it. And it's honestly, it's because of the work of Joe Rohde. If you're unfamiliar with Joe Rohde, he is the Animal Kingdom man. He is the Imagineer. He's fantastic. And he had his hand on this land so much that he even in Restaurantosaurus has a few paintings that were done personally by him, which is just like, I just now want to go eat at Restaurantosaurus so I can just stare at everything and appreciate the like love and effort that went into it. And it is still available to go. You can still dine there right now. So if you are like, I'm going to Disney next month, go. Like, I don't know how much longer it's going to be open. So enjoy it. Look in the second floor of the building, like really take it in, because there's so much effort that has been put into every area of this land. So enjoy the parts that are still open is my soap opera here.
You know how we always try to throw in a Taylor Swift reference at some point?
Oh, yes, please do.
It's not really a reference, but sometimes I have Taylor Swift music videos that come into my mind, but they're in Disney World. And I
love that.
Just imagined right where you left me, but like you're sitting in Restaurantosaurus because you don't want to leave because you don't want the land to close.
All I could think of is, help, I'm still at the restaurant.
Exactly. Restaurantosaurus.
It's Aurus.
Exactly. You got it. You know exactly what I had in my mind. This is why we're perfect together.
I love it. I love it so much.
Yes, I mean, I totally agree with you. If you are going to Walt Disney World and you have time to stop and get a last glimpse at some of these details, this is going to be some of the most unique Disney land that they've ever come up with, because now everything's based off of IP. And I understand why they do that. I understand why these popular characters that are coming from their movies, if they have representation for them in the parks, parents with young kids who are obsessed with these characters want to go. They want to see it. They get excited to see Mirabel. They're going to be so excited to see Casita, because that's a story they're familiar with. Dino Land and all of this like nerdy Disney background means nothing to a 3-year-old right now.
Yeah.
And so I understand, but if you're a obsessive Disney adult like we are, please go sit in the corner of the restaurant and just sit there and take it all in before it's gone forever.
Well, my favorite place to eat in there is where there's like a little like camper that's attached, the little booth. I love sitting in there. It's so fun. I do love looking at the food in here. Not good. Not going to lie. It's not bad. I mean, it is bad, but it didn't actually. Okay. Another fun fact. It used to be McDonald's. They used to sell McDonald's hamburgers and fries in this restaurant. They also used to have a little kiosk or a little booth outside that sold McDonald's fries, because McDonald's used to be a sponsor for this land, which I didn't know this. Did you know this?
I knew about the McDonald's sponsorship. I didn't know necessarily about Restaurantsaurus. I knew about Trilobites. Used to be Petra Fried, and you could get McDonald's French fries there. Could also get McDonald's French fries in Magic Kingdom, where Golden Oak Outpost is, because McDonald's was just a general sponsor of Walt Disney World. But double fun fact, Restaurantosaurus was the original character dining location. You could meet Goofy and Donald and all of these Animal Kingdom, Mickey and Friends people in Restaurantosaurus. I did not experience that.
I didn't either.
Looking back at the footage and the pictures gave me a giggle. It was very, you know, I prefer Tusker House at this point. I love Tusker House character dining. But the fact that this used to be the character dining spot, imagine how lively Dino Land was. Character dining.
I know.
And it's just gotten like to be, which is kind of ironic, because it's how you would imagine some place like this made up Diggs County to be, like kind of a ghost town, except for the fact that they've got dinosaur fossils there. So some people stop in.
I am sure and I am confident that this area was popping in the early 2000s. Like this,
especially
was
if you could get McDonald's fries.
Yeah, I'm sure like this is where the people were hanging out from 1998 to 2005 easily. Like that has to have been like the spot. So it's really cool to see all of that. And also two more things in Restaurantosaurus that's really cool. There is a photo inside of the restaurant that is a World's Fair photo of Walt with dino animatronics, which I think is super cool. And then also there is Sinclair Motor Oil, which is an actual oil company where their logo has a dinosaur on it. That oil logo is used throughout the restaurant, honestly throughout the entire land, because obviously it's this like gas station vibe off the beaten path type of little town. So I just thought that was super cool, and I now just want to go eat at Restaurantosaurus just to feel things.
Yes, me too. Meet me there. Dino Bites is one other location that is in this area where you can get snacks, and they were known for their cookie ice cream sandwiches. If you never got to have one, sad day. You can get something similar at the Plaza Ice Cream Shop on Main Street, but it's just like your quality two cookies with some ice cream type sandwich, and I believe this is closed now.
I think Restaurantosaurus and Dinosaur the Ride are like the two things that are left. I might have to fact check myself on that. I still have a pulse that they're still moving on. But yeah, that's kind of it for, I guess, over in that area and the Restaurantosaurus. Other things to know is there is the Boneyard, which is where it's a kids play area where you can go and like play with fossils, run around, climbing things, all the things like that. This was an opening day attraction when the park first opened. And it's cute because in that area, there are all these bulletin boards like describing different dinosaurs. And you have, again, that like scientific and grad student approach there. And then you also get like this hand-drawn map of Dinoland from opening day, which I did not know existed. And I so wish I would have put my eyes on it. That shows exactly the layout of how things looked, and you can see the original dinosaur attraction, which was called Countdown to Extinction. So the fact that that like was literally up until this week still there, I don't know, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, again, the level of detail in this area, and it's details that people just walk by, which is what is like a little bit heartbreaking to me, because there's so much like love, care, thought that went into every single detail, like including a hand-drawn map of the park, including like setups in this boneyard area that are like jokes and like games that the grad students were playing, but people just probably never paid attention to it. You know, it's neat. And it's why we love Disney. It's sad to see it go, but I am hoping and praying that whatever is replacing these areas is done at the same level. I'm sure it will be. One thing I will say about potentially losing the Boneyard, we haven't really heard any details about the Boneyard itself, but my childhood, I'm sure your childhood, like these massive playgrounds for kids to get like energy out, to run around. I was able to take Taj to the Boneyard in December. Obviously, he's still a baby, so there's only so much that he can do. But homie loved it. Like, the way his face lit up when he saw that I put him on the ground and he was allowed to run free. He didn't have to be, like, attached to somebody. He was so happy and so excited. We took him down slides, just, like, walking around and seeing other kids run around made him happy. So I hope that there is still a place in Disney theme parks for these big playgrounds, because they are such a fun thing for kids to get to experience. But after COVID, I feel like they've all kind of started to not want kids to be able to share germs like that, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. The big one for me was the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids play area in Hollywood Studios. So to be able to like have that as part of my childhood was huge. I didn't really go to the Boneyard much. I think I went maybe once or twice. I have like a vague memory of it, but mostly mine was over in Hollywood Studios. And I don't know, I just think this area is super cute. And there's obviously like so much to come for this area. Some other things to note before we jump into the main attraction of Dinosaur is to talk about just the changes that happened throughout the land before it closed. We obviously had Donald's Dino Bash, which was something that they incorporated. I don't remember when it started showing up, but it was definitely within the last like 5 to 10 years. It's where Donald discovers that that ducks are related to dinosaurs, and he wants to have a party to discover his long lost relatives. So I feel like they did this in a way to kind of bring a new sense of life to this area, because things were changing and maybe it was becoming more of a ghost town. So this was their attempt in that. And it was super cute, very vibrant, fun. All of the Mickey and Friends and Chip and Dale are in like they're in their dinosaur costumes, which are the cutest character costumes I think that we have on Disney property. So to see those go are like super sad, and like the dance parties and that kind of stuff. But I do think by them adding that, it did add an element to that area that did draw in some new crowds. So I didn't want to, you know, skate over that. As we talked about some other things.
They used to at Donald's Dino Bash. It's like started trickling off over time, but they used to have a DJ out there. And
I remember the DJ.
Yeah. Like every once in a while, like it was like DJ hour, and the Chipmunks and Pluto and Donald, sometimes Daisy would come out, and it was like a big dance party. Like, again, my family spent a lot of time in Dino Land, and we were always talking about how excited we were to go to the Dinoland dance party. And so
that's so,
you know,
fun.
They've started, you know, taking things like that away little by little, but The Donald's Dino Bash. I mean, it was a legit party to celebrate Donald being related to dinosaurs.
Yeah, so funny. I'm really glad they did that. I think it was a fun aspect. Now, Kate, are there any other things that you want to add about the land as a whole before we go into the specifics of like Countdown to Extinction / Dinosaur and then a few more details on Dinorama before we talk about what's coming next?
I think some of the details that I would discuss kind of are related to Dinosaur and like moving into that area. Again, we could spend hours and hours and hours breaking down all of the details and Easter eggs and hidden gems that you would find throughout Dinoland. Go and do some research yourself just to appreciate it visually before you don't have a reference anymore. But I think that we should just like keep sailing along and move into Dino Sue and our entrance into Dinosaur.
Okay, you're gonna have to take the lead on Dino Sue because I am less familiar with this.
Okay, this is another like takes Dino Land for me to another level of like Disney detailing that people probably at this point just don't know, but. When Dinoland was opening, there were real dinosaur bones being dug up in South Dakota, which is, first of all, insane to me. Like, there's dinosaur bones in South Dakota. There were dinosaurs in North America. Like, I just kind of associate anything dinosaur, like, maybe not being in America. Like, maybe being somewhere else.
They're just European.
Anyways, yes, the dinosaurs are sophisticated and European.
They're like, wee, welcome to Paris.
Yeah, they said the British are coming and that's us. So anyways, I don't know why it like shocks me that there would be dinosaur fossils in the United States of America, but there were dinosaur fossils in the United States of America being dug up in South Dakota when Dino Land was first opening. And part of what you could see and experience in Dinoland was this exhibit where Disney had actually donated money in this dig so that we could get more dinosaur information and research, and maybe it would contribute to some of what they were doing in the parks. But Disney gave these scientists a big lump sum of money to help with their dig, but in return wanted some of these bones flown to Orlando to be uncovered or unearthed. There is a very specific way that they remove debris, stone, sand, dirt off of these bones to preserve the bones. And so they take them out in one big chunk and then chisel away little by little to make sure they don't lose, break, crack any of what they've found. And so they had this presentation area where you could look through glass and see paleontologists getting these real dinosaur bones out of the dirt that they found them in South Dakota. And it is the most complete dinosaur fossil or bone set. I don't know how. Skeleton. Wow. That
bone skeleton. Set.
Bone set. I am in the health field. I don't know why skeleton didn't come to mind.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways. It is the most complete T-Rex skeleton to date in history ever. It is 90% complete, 90% present. And so, again, I don't know that people knew that this was happening, or if people did see it, they maybe thought it was fake. Like, it was just a show, like part of the show of Dinoland. But this was really happening. Paleontologists were uncovering the most complete skeleton of a T-Rex ever in Walt Disney World.
That's crazy. And
now that that uncovering is complete, that actual skeleton is in the Chicago Field Museum. However, Disney had a replica made for the parks, and it sits right outside of the walkway into where you head towards what we know as Dinosaur. And again, this is probably a detail that people just skirt right on by. Don't even pay attention to what it is. But it is a replica of something that Disney was very involved in unearthing this skeleton for science, for history. And her name is Dino Sue.
Dino Sue, we love you. Oh, that rhymes. We will miss you, and we love you. Thank you for your service.
I'm very curious what will happen because, you know, this is a replica of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they have Disney archives, but surely it can be used somewhere.
Honestly, I'm very excited to see where they take this. So I think it's time now to talk about Dinosaur, which was originally Countdown to Extinction. So let's start. 1998. The park has opened. The ride, the attraction of this area is Countdown to Extinction. It's dinosaur themed. It's the same ride that we know today, but just a little bit darker, maybe a little bit scarier. When they were making the dinosaur movie, they decided, oh, okay, we need to kind of shift this theming to fit the dinosaur movie to make it a little more family friendly. And it was the perfect transition after a few years of it being opened for them to go, okay, let's change things up a little bit.
Whenever the dinosaur movie came out, yes, I remember it. Yes, I've seen it. But I don't think it left a mark on Disney fans in a way that maybe the Imagineers thought it would when they said, oh, let's like throw this movie into this attraction that everybody knows at this point. So, again... I don't even know that everybody in our generation going on to what we know now as Dinosaur would understand the reference of, I mean, and it's not like a massive reference. The Iguanodon looks exactly like the main character of Disney's Dinosaur movie. His name is Aladar. However, they never say Aladar. There's no other reference to the movie other than the dinosaur that you're trying to get looks like the dinosaur from the movie, and he sits outside of the attraction. But yes, there was, just like any other Disney attraction, a big group of people who were very upset that the original Countdown to Extinction was changed and altered. It evidently was scarier, and Disney wanted to try to make this attraction more family-friendly. So they took out a lot of the scary noises and changed some of the scenery so that it wasn't as intense as it used to be. But I love this ride. I don't know how you feel about this ride, but I just think it's fun.
I do love this ride. I like this ride because no matter how many times I ride it, I always forget what's coming next. And I really love that about this ride. It always catches me by surprise. Like, the dinosaur scares me at the end. Like, the photo that I always get from this ride is iconic. Like, I feel like it's just super fun, and I am very sad to see it go. Although I know they're keeping the same ride vehicles, the same building, everything. They're just going to change the theming to Indiana Jones, which is what they did with Splash Mountain and Tiana's Bayou Adventure. They obviously have the layout for the Indiana Jones ride with Disneyland, so I get their why they were transitioning to that. But it is so interesting now. This ride will have been through technically three different themings with the same building, even though obviously Countdown to Extinction and Dinosaur are basically the same ride, just slight changes. But some fun things to note about this attraction is that the animatronics in this ride are some of the largest animatronics that Disney has ever made. Wild. Also, it has one of the largest smoke machines used in a theme park, which I would have had no idea that was like on the table for like largest whatever. So there's those two, which are super like fun and crazy to think about. There are also quite a few Easter eggs in this ride that really pay homage, or whatever the phrase is, I can't think right now, to the Countdown to Extinction. Why don't you explain a little more about those little Easter eggs?
Yeah, Countdown to Extinction is nodded to in several ways throughout this attraction. You'll see CTX, which is Countdown to Extinction. You'll see it on the rovers. There's a couple places on the walls where you might see it. And it is just nodding to the fact that it used to be called Countdown to Extinction. There's also a place where you'll see Sector CTX WDI AK98. Again, random person looking at that says random detail. However, it's referring to Countdown to Extinction by Walt Disney World Imagineering in Animal Kingdom in 1998, which is when it opened. So, you know,
so
you see all these
crazy
little nods that to somebody who's not an obsessive Disney person, it's just something. But again, Disney's always intentional. Everything that they do has a meaning to it. And so those little nods are fun. Going back to that original Dinoland story we began with this contrast of like harsh, clean, serious scientist and more laid back, fun, easygoing student is kind of what you get in the intro to this attraction. You have the serious, rigid Dr. Marsh, and you have the more fun and playful Dr. Seeker. And this is part of the overall Dinoland story. The people of Diggs County know that they're going to get tourists coming in, and they want to find a way to have more money come in so that they can invest more in the Diggs and Discovery. And so they hire Dr. Marsh and Dr. Seeker to come in with their new Time Rover technology that they figured out how to take people back to the Cretaceous period. And so... that is a storyline, is these scientists have come and they're taking you back to the Cretaceous period to see the dinosaurs yourself. But Dr. Seeker has a special individualized mission, and he wants to bring back a dinosaur instead of just going to look at them. And you do have a successful mission, and it's extra large results at the end. And so... that is kind of the storyline of the attraction. It's fun. You kind of bebop around. And I am glad that we'll somewhat still have this version of an attraction when all is said and done. It will just be new theming. But the queue, I think, is another detail of this attraction that's worth talking about.
Yes. So something that's really amazing about this queue is that you are going to see real dinosaur fossils on display. They really lean into that like museum aspect of the queue, where you feel like you're walking through the Smithsonian and you're looking at all the different like dinosaur fossils and bones, and like there are all of these plaques up that explain the dinosaurs and all that stuff. So I think that is fantastic and well done. And then also fun fact about the queue is that when you're in that little center hub before you go into the pre-show room, Bill Nye, the science guy, is the one that is narrating the meteor strike while you're waiting in that area. And I don't know if I just never picked up on this or never noticed that was his voice, but I think that's an amazing addition to this ride, considering obviously if you grew up, if you're a 90s kid, you love Bill Nye the Science Guy. So like, I can only imagine how cool that would have been to experience that and know that it was him. I didn't even know it was him. So now I'm disappointed.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure even just thinking about it as a 90s kid, obviously Animal Kingdom opened in the 90s, but they're building this land. It's about science, discovery, and they're like, man, if we could partner with Bill Nye, the science guy in some way, wouldn't that be cool for the kids? Yes, it would yeah. be. Thank you for thinking of us. So obviously, I don't know that he'll be narrating the queue for what's coming next. Anyways, it was fun while it lasted. And then I think the last detail that we have to mention is, again, with the McDonald's. McDonald's investment in Walt Disney World.
I love it.
So big that they got Easter eggs in the attraction as well. When you make it through that pre-show video with Dr. Marsh and Dr. Seeker and you're going down the stairs to get in your Time Rover, you will see a yellow, a white, and a red tube that kind of run all around the room, and it has a chemistry equation across the tube. And
it isn't it called something else? It's not a chemistry equation, right? It's called like a like, what's it called, a formula or something?
A formula. Yes, it's a formula. A chemistry formula. And your bone set.
Your bone set.
Go your get bone your- sets and your chemistry equations. With the formulas, they are here. You will find them Anyways, they are the actual formulas for ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise because McDonald's is a sponsor. Obviously, they're not anymore, but the tubes remain. And I just
so hope in some way these pipes make it into the retheming. Like, I just want there to be, I want that to exist forever. I think that is such a, honestly, a funny but so specific Easter egg. I would have never in a million years guessed that that was the formula for ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise. What?
But here's the thing. And it's part of why being a Disney fan is exciting. I will be looking for the dinosaur Easter eggs and the Dino Land Easter eggs throughout all this new stuff that's coming. Because you know that they are going to take pieces and leave us little clues and little hints to let us know, hey, we know what used to be here. We honor it. And here is a piece to remember it by. And so in the same ways that you can look and say, hey, McDonald's doesn't sponsor this ride anymore, but they still got the ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise stuff in here. I'm sure that we will see dinosaur trickled into all of this new stuff. And so that's part of what makes, you know, what comes next still a little bit exciting, even though it's a little bit scary for us to let go of what we know and love and step into something new and unfamiliar. But that is kind of our overview. We've obviously not talked about one area other than just a little bit of story at the beginning here that we still have to cover.
Yes, and before we cover that, I think it's time for us to talk about our code word for today's episode. So if you are following us on social media at The Castle Chat, you are aware that we are doing a little New Year's giveaway that does have some Dinoland fun involved. We are giving away a Kate Spade card holder, Disney themed. We're also giving away a 2025 pin set, and how that pin set will work is our number one winner will win the pin of their choice, and then our backup winners will get to pick any of the remaining pins that are on that list. And then the third item that our number one winner will get is a Triceratops plushie. So we are really excited to honor Dino Land and get you guys excited for a giveaway. And if you're participating on social media, then you're probably here going, what's the code word? I want to get my extra entries for the giveaway. So Kate, what is our code word for our giveaway?
It's only right and only fitting that our code word for this amazing giveaway is Dino-rama.
Yes, and that is our perfect transition talking about this area. So, Kate, why don't you go ahead and give us a little more details about Dino-rama, and we'll transition this episode.
So, Dino-rama is the area that we were talking about at the beginning of this episode. It's the area that my family knows and loves. It is essentially like a roadside carnival. You've got your carnival games. There's, I think, maybe six of them that you could play, and you could win prizes. And then you also previously had Primeval World, which closed already before this secondary closure of the Dino-rama area. Primeval World was your like typical like carnival fair cat and mouse coaster. It's like the exact same body. If you're familiar with Goofy Sky School in Disneyland, exact same thing. It was a little more thrilling, a little additional fun for the younger guests who wanted some thrill but maybe weren't quite ready to be scared by the dinos. And then you also have Triceratops Spin, which is basically Dumbo but with Triceratops. And so the original opening day thought was like to have circus tents almost with dinosaur fossils and bones and things for you to go in and look at. And it was short-lived, and Dino-rama took over and is more colorful and fun and interactive than what they originally thought. And so this is, I think, the cherry on top of Dino Land.
Yes, it definitely is. There's so much fun and vibrancy over here. And I have vivid memories of riding Primeval World with my sisters, actually. And so that was one that I was sad to see go. And that was like the first closure that we saw with Dino-rama. And that's when I was like, this land is not lasting. And it was kind of like the I knew what was coming, but I didn't want to accept it. And then obviously we found out during D23 that it would be closing and we would be transitioning into something new, which is a great way to end our episode talking about kind of what's to come. Is there anything you'd like to mention before we talk about what is to come about what it was?
No, I think we've done it justice. I think that, again, in some capacity, I also feel like we've just scratched the surface. There's so many details. So like we said, go do some final looks at what this land was before we don't have a roadmap to guide that history and an idea of what it used to be anymore and it becomes something new. But yeah, I'm excited to talk about what's new. Like I said, being a Disney fan is exciting. While we're sad to see some things go, I know that Disney, when they do something, they do it well. And so what we have coming into this area, while it does kind of change that original concept of what Animal Kingdom Park as a whole was, I think that these are some fun ideas and I'm excited to see how they play out. What I mean by that is that original concept of prehistoric animals, current day animals, and mythical animals. We're now looking at Animal Kingdom more as areas. We'll have Africa, we'll have Asia, and now we will have Tropical Americas added to what we knew as Dino Land. Tropical Americas will be coming in and taking over, and we will have Indiana Jones and Encanto themed attractions filling this space.
Yeah, we will. So what we know so far is that there is going to be a trackless Encanto ride that is going to be, I would assume, a massive attraction over in this area. It is going to, what seems like, go near where Dino-Rama was going to be, but maybe off to the side a little bit according to the concept art. And we are also going to have a carousel style ride, which I assume is going to go right where Triceratops Spin is. They're just going to like repurpose the pieces of that, which makes a lot of sense. And then Dinosaur is going to be transformed into that Indiana Jones ride. So as a total, it's going to be 11 acres of this area, which is wild to me. It's going to be so massive over here. And I think that it's going to be obviously very cool because Disney isn't going to do this, you know, halfway. They're going to go all in. It's going to be a great area, but it is going to feel totally different over here. And I do really hope that they keep the history of Dino Land available, like you said, those little nods. But it is going to be a very bright and vibrant area of the park. I know a lot of people that are Encanto fans are very excited for this, to see those biomes in a way expand in the areas. So now we're going to see that Tropical Americas, and it is set to open in 2027. They're obviously starting construction on when the Dino-Rama area is. We are unsure at this point when the dinosaur section of the land is going to close. I would assume that would be probably one of the last things to close so they can keep an attraction open as long as possible.
Yeah, there has been some maybe Instagram posts that are basically saying we have 2025 to ride Dinosaur one last time. So I'm thinking that like we'll get our Dinosaur closure either in December or like a year from the Dino-Rama closure. So I think we've got time to experience Dinosaur one more time, but they are going to be putting up those walls and starting to take everything that we know from the Dino-Rama area out to add stuff in. We have also been told that what they are doing for the Indiana Jones attraction in Dinosaur is a completely new storyline. So it's not going to be carbon copy from Disneyland. There is an Indiana Jones attraction in Tokyo that I have seen glimpses of that is insane. And so I'm hoping that Disney can take what they've done to up the ante for the Indiana Jones attraction in the international parks and bring it to Walt Disney World, so that when we experience this new attraction, while people may have been on the Disneyland version or seen or been on the Tokyo version, this is going to be something new, but also something where all the gadgets and technology and everything that they can throw into it are put there. So it's not just like a cheap replacement.
Yeah, I'm excited to see a brand new attraction over here as well. I think Animal Kingdom is in need of some more attractions, and so I know that was their intent here as well. Excited to see what it looks like, but also fun to look back and reminisce on what was in this area and the memories and the things that we have. And again, like we said earlier, if you have stories or maybe fun facts that we didn't mention about Dinoland USA that you would like to share with us, please feel free to hop into our DMs or, you know, anything. Just send us a message. We'll also post some of these Easter eggs on our stories. I think it's really cool for you guys to see, like, the McDonald's pipes and the things on the wall and the stuff that maybe you didn't notice when you were there before. So you can now see where it was located as we say goodbye and it moves on to its extinction.
Speaking of extinction, Court, before we head out for today, should we talk about what's coming next?
We absolutely should. So I'm hoping that there are a lot of new listeners on this episode today from our giveaway. We would love to have you join the Castle Chat fam. And in addition to our already existing Castle Chat fam, if you've been around here for a while, you know that sometimes we like to do series. And when we were planning this episode, we decided, oh my gosh, there are so many areas in Walt Disney World that have become extinct, and we want to talk about them. So we are going to be doing an extinction series of sorts where we will go through each park and talk about the things that were in those parks and no longer are, and kind of take a walk down memory lane and discuss them, because I feel like Disney has changed so much. It's important to look back and see like where they started and how we got to where we are.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for this series because there's so many things that I loved once upon a time that I don't get to experience anymore. And so this is an opportunity for me to yap about it with my bestie. So I hope that you guys will tune in and go on a trip down memory lane with us, and we'll take you park by park and reminisce on the things that were and what's taken over, and maybe play a few games along the way. So stay tuned. But thanks so much for honoring and remembering Dinoland with us today. It has been really fun and really eye-opening for me as to how much I really do love this area of Disney, and how much I respect who these people are that created Disney World in general and the stories that we get from them. Disney does storytelling like no other. So I'm excited to see what comes next.
Yes, I'm very, very excited. And I'm just excited in general for 2025 and all the episodes that we have to come here on the Castle Chat. And it's going to be a fun ride. So guys, for now, we will leave you with what we always leave you with, which is there's a great big beautiful tomorrow out there waiting for you.
Go make it magical.
See you real soon.
Bye, friends.
Bye.